It's good to be with you tonight.
Love the Holy Ghost, don't you? Psalm 84 says, blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. One thing I've been learning recently and talking to our church about is how Christianity is a pilgrimage. And according to Psalm 84, it says it's a pilgrimage that we go from strength to strength. Thanks, Steve. Great stuff tonight, mate. We go from strength to strength until we stand before him in Zion. And so I don't know about you, maybe your Christianity was all about a moment once upon a time. Mine's about a journey. And as I walk with Jesus, I go from strength to strength. Amen. As you walk with Jesus, you go from strength to strength. If you kind of have a one-time encounter with God in the 80s or the 90s, and then you park your car and pull down the garage door, you ain't going to get much, because the Bible says, blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Listen, God doesn't want to try and move a parked car. He wants to guide a moving vehicle. And as we set our hearts on pilgrimage, we go from strength to strength. You know, I was thinking as we were worshiping there, what it was like for the disciples. Because each of them was on a pilgrimage with Jesus. And, you know, as they walked with Jesus, all the things they got to experience. Listen, when we set our hearts on pilgrimage, we're walking with Jesus. We're walking with Jesus. Just as the disciples walked with Jesus, that was their pilgrimage. This is ours. You know, the disciples must have blown their minds. Imagine what it was like to be pilgrimage. That word pilgrimage means to journey with. Are you journeying with the Lord tonight, or have you arrived? Are you arrived? I've not arrived. I'm journeying with the Lord. Every morning I wake up, it's another morning to journey with the Lord. Amen. Imagine the disciples, what they saw. It was incredible. I love the story about Lazarus because, you know, wherever Jesus goes, he makes things live again. And tonight, you know, we're journeying with Jesus, and wherever he goes tonight, wherever he's welcomed, he makes things live again. He makes marriages live again. He makes broken things work again. Because that's Jesus. When Jesus steps into somebody's world, it all changes. When Jesus steps in to someone's world, things begin to come back together again. And I love that story. I love how stupid and simple the disciples really were. I love that story when they get a message that Lazarus is sleeping, and he's not sleeping, he's dead. He's dead. And the disciples are like, he's sleeping. And Jesus said, let's go to him. And one of the disciples, one of the bright sparks, the marvelettes, they turn around and they said, but surely if he's not well, we should let him sleep. And Jesus turns and says, he's dead, you plank. He's dead. He's dead. He's not sleeping. He's dead. He's dead. But if you let him sleep, he'll get better again. No, you plank. He's dead. Just the normality of people that journey with the Lord. I'm like that. I can be a plank. I can be a plank. But then Jesus said, let's go to him. And then I think it was Thomas, you know, the great Thomas turns and says, let's go with him so we can die with him. He didn't say anything about going to die. He was going to go and see his friend at one sleep, and he was dead. And the marvelettes, they follow behind, and he's like, they're journeying with him. They're journeying with him. Their eyes are being opened every day. And he gets to the tomb. He gets to the tomb, and he stands there, and there's people crying. And it says, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He didn't wept because the guy was dead, because he was going to rise him from the dead. He ain't confused. He didn't cry his eyes out. He's dead. I know, let me bring him back to life. Jesus is compassionate. He saw the sorrow of people, and he wept. God, listen, God's compassionate tonight. Jesus is compassionate over your life. He has great compassion for you. He's moved with compassion for you. Whatever you're going through tonight, you think, God don't give a rip. He does give a rip. Jesus is compassionate. Some of you need to hear that tonight. Jesus is compassionate over your life. He's got great compassion for you, over your life. And so we turn up, and there's this amphitheater of religious people and Mary and Martha, and Lazarus is dead, so you don't even know what's going on. He's inside. And he didn't even know he died till he woke up. This is too deep. I don't want to get too deep with you tonight. They weren't until he rose from the dead. He went, well, look at that. I was dead. He really didn't know. If I get too deep, just give me a wave and I'll slow the train down for you. And Jesus turns out, and they're all weeping, and he says, oh, God, this isn't for my benefit, it's for theirs. And he prays and he says, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come forth. And the life of God, the life of Jesus, the gospel's about life. The forgiveness of sin is just a journey before the main event. All that confused a couple of you. Colossians says that while we were dead in our sins, having your sins forgiven when you're dead really don't matter because you're dead. The main event is us coming back to life. While we were dead in our sins, he made us alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses. The message of the gospel is a message of the forgiveness of sins, but it's a message of so much more. It's a message of coming alive again. When we were dead in our sins, Adam brought death upon the human race. Two dead parents gave birth to two dead kids that gave birth to two dead kids that gave birth to two dead kids, because two dead parents can only produce dead children. We were dead in our sins until Jesus put life back into us. And while we were dead in our sins, he forgave all our trespasses and he made us alive together with him, forgiving all of our sins. Lazarus, come forth. The spirit of life, which is stronger than the law of sin and death, went into that cave, and there was a man who was dead for 3 days, and suddenly his heart began again because life came back into him, and he opened his eyes and everybody watched the tomb. Now, some were saying, nothing's going to happen. This is when he makes himself look stupid. This is the moment we've been waiting for. Yeah, come on, everybody look at the black hole. And all of a sudden, I don't know how you interpret the Bible. All of a sudden it says Lazarus came out. Maybe some of you think he came out like this. That was a very good production, but it wasn't like that. It was actually like this. Read your Bible, it says that he was bound with grave clothes, and even his face was bound. He didn't come out like something from a Spielberg movie. He came out. The first thing he did when he rose from the dead was fall off the shelf. Because life had made someone dead alive again. And then he pulled himself up the wall. And then he goes, he can't see because he's got a big old flannel over his face. And all he can hear is the crowds going, because you can't hear when you've got cloth wrapped around your head. Must I teach you everything? And he comes out and he thinks, I must be there now, because he can hear. But you know the good thing about Jesus? He didn't do half a job. Because his next words were, loose that man, let him go. Loose that man, let him go. Loose him. Get him out. Get him out. I don't want him alive and bound. I want him alive and free. I want to raise him back to life for him to walk around bound. I want to get him to life and I want him to free. And I can just imagine Lazarus beginning, I am free to dance. Religion is screaming, no! Come on, he wasn't British. He didn't go, oh! Jolly good miracle! Jolly good miracle! If you'd been dead and came back to life, you wouldn't go, jolly good miracle! You'd be going, I am free today. One of the disciples must have said, well, blow me down with a feather. Well, another great story. Here's one in Luke. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to put my glasses on if that's okay. I'm going to do it anyway, but it's polite to ask. Right, here we go.
Now, it happened on a certain day, but he got into a boat. He is Jesus. Got into a boat with the disciples, him and Jesus. The disciples of Jesus are in a boat. And he said to them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. Are you ready to get something from God tonight? I got a message on my heart that's going to leave a whole bunch of you in Victory tonight. I know the meeting's been long already, but I've got something on my heart, and if you give me a few moments to unpack it, you're going to go out here and you'll be glad that you spent time here tonight. And it says, they got into the boat. As they sailed, he fell asleep. And the great windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy, not the program, in the state of. And they came to him and awoke and said, Master, Master, we're perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled. That's why they were marvelettes. Saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him. This is an incredible account. And I just want to break it down a little bit for you tonight, if I may, because you need to understand that the disciples were journeying with Jesus, and they were experiencing people coming back to life, and they were experiencing people being set free. Every town, every village, every place they went to, somebody came back to life. Somebody got set free. Somebody was healed. Somebody was delivered. Somebody was loosed. Jeff, can you get me this chart? What I'm going to share tonight is so deep, so deep, so deep. But tonight, I've got to use a whiteboard, otherwise some of you just won't stay with me. And I want to break this story down. There was a shore here, and it was called Galilee. Can everybody see the G? G stands for Galilee. And Jesus, you with me? Jesus, he's there. Jesus is there. With the marvelettes, and it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Please just say stop if I go too fast. I know I can. My cranium is so full with knowledge. Sometimes I just, and all of a sudden, Galilee's there, and there's another place here, and that begins with G, and that's called the Gadarenes, however you want to say it. And in between, there's a sea, and it's called the Sea of Galilee, but it's a little bit deceptive, really, because it's a sea, but it's not. It's actually an inland lake, but it's called a sea. I don't know why I didn't name it. It's just called a sea, but it's not a sea because it's an inland lake. Let's get a little bit deeper. That's Israel, and if you study it, it's actually perfectly to scale. It's perfect. It's perfect to scale. That is, it's perfect. And in the middle of Israel, there's an ocean around here, and that's sea. And in the middle, right there's a lake. And it's a freshwater lake, and it's 8 miles wide and 13 miles long, but it ain't a sea, it's an inland water lake, and it's called the Sea of Galilee. I don't know why they called it a sea. So that's Israel, and that's what's happening. And it's a great day in Galilee, miracles are breaking out. All of a sudden, Jesus says, we're going to go that way. We're going to go that way. And they get into a boat, stay with me. And Jesus goes to sleep. Please, are you still with me? You are, aren't you? I don't want to lose anyone on this journey, on this experience. I don't want to lose anyone. So they're there, and they said, right now we're going to go that way. And it says, Jesus is asleep, and he's happy. I'm happy when I sleep. Jesus is happy. And it says, all of a sudden, a great storm. A great storm arose, And that a great wind blew up, and that word fascinated me. Wind, storm. I want to see what that means. So I got my Google out. I was going to say Greek and Strong's, but Google's quicker. And I got into Google, and then I got my Strong's, and I thought, what does it mean? And the word storm that appeared there is a word, and it stands for this. Some of you men will appreciate this: a violent attack of wind. That's the precise translation. Don't get funny. You read the Strong's for yourself. I haven't got the letter number for you. But you'll see that it says a violent attack of wind. The day's sunny. Suddenly they get in the boat. Jesus is asleep. Violent attack of wind. The disciples flip out. Jesus, Jesus, wake up, wake up, wake up. And he wakes up and he rebukes the wind. And that was quite a storm. But you know, in your life, you're going to face storms. You know that? But tonight, if you'll allow me in these moments, I want to give you just a quick crash course in storm management according to this parable, according to this storyline. But in life, you're going to have some storms, and some of them are because you've been stupid. Face the fact and deal with it. But other storms aren't because you've been stupid. It's because other things are going on. I've got some storms, and this set of storms, I call them, what do I call those storms? I call those storms L for life. Because sometimes the storms that you face, they're not spiritual, they're just life. They're just life. The same rain, the same sun that shines on the righteous, shines on the unrighteous. And some storms that come against those that don't know Jesus come against those that do know Jesus. But the secret here, don't do your rebuking yet. You're rebuking. Keep your rebuking down just for a moment. Don't let it out yet. Because you don't rebuke these ones. These ones, through faith and wisdom, you prevail. Through these storms, the storms of life. And to me, I think it's Matthew 7 where it says, two men built houses. One built them upon the sand and the gravel, and one built them upon the rock. And when the storm came. And when the storm, the same storm that beat against the house that was built upon the shingle that fell down and everything he'd built came to nothing. The same storm beat itself against the rock, but the man that had built his life upon the rock, he didn't crumble and the storm didn't feed him, but through wisdom and faith he prevailed. Why? Because he built his life upon the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone that you build your life upon. Other shingle and other ground will fail you, but Jesus will not. And then there's these storms, and I kind of call these ones Jonah storms. Now, I know this goes against a lot of good Pentecostal teaching, because God don't do anything bad to good people, does he? Well, he did to Jonah. Either he really hated Jonah, or we've missed something. Because Jonah 1, if you read it, I think it's verse 7, says that all of a sudden a great storm came upon Jonah, and God sent it. Read the Bible for yourself. It says, and God sent a storm upon Jonah. Did he hate him? No, he sent it because he loved him. He loved him too much not to let him remain in disobedience. He loved him too much to let him remain in disobedience. He loved him too much, he had to get him back into obedience and into the plan of God. So you know the story of Jonah. A big storm comes. People are going to chuck him over. Shall I jump? Was I pushed? It was a bit of both. A whale catches him and he surfs on into the shore in this well. Out he comes across the beach like a projectile burp, lands there. I don't know if there were carrots. Don't ask me all these questions. He's laying on the beach. Is this not too deep? Back in the will of God. Back in the will of God. Listen, if you're in a storm and it's life, don't go rebuking anything yet. Keep your rebuke to yourself. By faith and patience and wisdom, we prevail. This recession, this credit crunch, by faith and wisdom we shall prevail, because we build our life upon the cornerstone. Fear not, little ones. God knows where you are. He knows your address and he knows your name. But if you're in disobedience and there's a storm over your life, this one's really simple. Just get on your knees, repent, and the storm will stop. God will send a whale and you can get back into the plans of God and it's all good. But I want to speak about this storm tonight, because I don't think this was a storm of life, because it was a sunny day a few minutes earlier. I don't believe it was a storm of disobedience, because if Jesus is disobedient, we've all got major problems, so it can't be that one. So it's got to be another storm, so I'm going to bring in a storm, and I'm going to call this one a storm of opposition. It was a storm of opposition. It was a storm sent to oppose them. It was a storm sent to oppose them. The day started, the sun was shining, everything's beautiful, everything's heavenly. They get in the boat, suddenly a violent wind, a storm comes. You've got to understand there was a purpose to that storm. You know, for many years I used to read, I don't know what you like, Steve, I used to read a little nugget and preach on it, and God started talking to me to put some nuggets together, and you understand what he was doing and where he was going. And if you keep on reading in this chapter, you'll find out exactly what that storm was about. It was about a man called here on the Isle of Gadarenes. And let's just call him Crazy Jack, because he was bonkers. He was bonkers. He had chains on him. He wasn't happy. He was bonkers. Read it. He was bonkers. You know why he was bonkers? Because he had a legion of devils living in him. And that could really make you bonkers. According to the days of Augustus, a legion was 6,826 people made up of horsemen and chariots. So the reason this guy ain't so happy is he's got 6,826 devils living in him, having a field day. He ain't happy. Things are not going well. If you read about him, he's living in the tombs with dead people. He can't keep his clothes on. He's running around naked. He's nude. He's out of his mind. He's tormented. Well, I did some studies and it was 6,801. Well, I still think that's a problem. In fact, if I've got it totally wrong and it was only 612, I think one is a big problem. Here's some of you guys that like numbers. If you take two away from eight, you get six, and that leaves you with 666. I don't know. I'm just giving everything wrong. People like numbers, don't they? You ever see them? That means that, and that means that, and this one. There's something for you. Freebie, please just take it and enjoy. 6,826 living in him. He ain't happy. Now stay with me, because this is important, because I want to tell you how to beat the storms in your life, if you'll let me. I want to teach you how to overcome the storms in your life. If there's storms of life, then through wisdom and faith you prevail. If there's storms of disobedience, get on your knees, get back into the will of God. But if there's storms of opposition, you've got to understand that the purpose, stay with me here, the purpose of this storm was him. The purpose of this storm was him. The purpose of this storm was him. The purpose of this storm was because freedom was just about to break out somewhere. The purpose of this storm was because freedom was just about to break out somewhere. The purpose of this storm was because freedom was just about a few minutes away, a few moments away from breaking out, and a man was going to get free. A man who'd been tormented by 6,826 devils was just about to be freed by the power of the move of the Spirit in Jesus Christ. Storms, Crazy Jack. You don't know his name wasn't Crazy Jack.
His name wasn't Crazy Jack. Were you there?
You related to him? No. Won't you be shocked when you get to heaven and the guy says,
"Hey, I'm formerly known as Crazy Jack."
Now, you've got to understand something about God, and I love this about God. Catch this if you can. It's free. Catch this one. Everyone had forgotten about Crazy Jack. Because how'd you handle a man with 6,826 devils that takes his clothes off, screams like an animal? And so they put him on an island, and this is where it gets a little bit deeper. Please stay with me. There's only someone else on that island, and his name's called Alfred. And Alfred had piggies. Piggy. Crazy Jack, Alfred. Okay, now, you've got to understand this about God. Nobody gave a rip about him. They just put him in chains and abandoned him in a place that no one else would ever go again except for Alfred and a few pigs. That's what life tries to do to people. When they don't know how to deal with people, they try to just get them out of the way so that they don't matter, and they stick them in a corner. Nobody went over there to have a packed lunch with him. Nobody. Nobody said, "Let's go to Gadarenes and have a picnic with Crazy Jack." They left him there. If I was going around the lake of the Sea of Galilee somewhere and I was going to have some time or a day out with some people, I wouldn't go there. "Hey, look, Mummy, there's a crazy man. He's naked and he's shouting at us." Call me carnal, but I'd go somewhere else. I don't need that on a day off. Is this a little bit too real time for you? But here's something good for you. Here's something good for you. God knew where he was. God knew where he was. And God ain't just in the crowds. He'll send someone around the world for one person. I used to go around the world for many people. Recently, I had the privilege of traveling around the world to reach one. Because that's God. That's the value God puts on you. Tonight, all this could be for you. All this. He might have brought me all the way from England. Just for you tonight. Because God will go around the world for one. God don't need a minimum of 200 people. God will go around the world for one. He left the crowds and went there. And you know something? I know people have written a lot of books about the devil and made him really clever and he networks and all that with his demons. But he's not. He's thick. He's thick. He's a plank. Because he didn't have a clue what Jesus was going to do till he opened his mouth. When Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost, went into the wilderness, came out in the power of the Spirit. From that moment, the devil was playing catch up. Where's he going to go? Where's he going to go? Where's he going to go? Where's he going now? He's turned left. He's turned left. Where's he going? Who's he going after? Oh no, he's just healed somebody. Oh no, he's just raised somebody from the dead. Come on, demons. More information, more information, more information. Keep me in the loop. Keep me in the loop. Because he didn't have a clue. That's why the day started sunny. And then Jesus got in the boat and he said these words, we're going that way. We're going that way. And all of a sudden the devil's going, where's he going? Where's he going? Where's he going? He's going to get a rings. Why is he going to get a rings? Is he after the pigs? No, Jews don't eat pork. It's not the pigs. It's not the pigs. You don't want the pigs. You don't want the pigs, Steve. You don't want the pigs. You don't want the pigs. You don't want the pigs. It's not the pigs. It's not the pigs. You don't eat pork. It's not the pigs. It's Albert. It's Albert. No, it's not Albert. He's no danger to anyone. B-I-N-G-O. I had a dog. His name was Bingo. He's going after Crazy Jack. He's going after Crazy Jack. Jesus is going after our masterpiece. He's going after Crazy Jack. Send a storm. Send a storm. Jesus is going after Crazy Jack. Go storm. Go storm. Get a storm. I had a dog and its name was Bingo. So he sends a storm. He sends a storm to stop the purposes of God. Do you know what Jesus does? Because a storm had been sent, not one of life, not one of Jonah, but one of opposition. Because the devil clicked on. He's going after 6826. He's going after Crazy Jack. He's going after Crazy Jack. He don't want the pigs. He ain't after the pigs because Jews don't eat pork. He's going after Crazy Jack. And so he says, I'm going to send a storm. I'm going to send a storm. And so the storm comes, and the disciples, because they didn't know better, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. Wake Jesus up. That's all right for me. I've read the book. They hadn't read it. They were doing real time with Jesus. Real time in it with Jesus. On a pilgrimage, it was new every morning. Me, I mean, I look at it now, I would have thought, two armpits, I'm having one of them because he's going to float. They woke him up. They woke him up. And Jesus ain't happy. Wake me up, I ain't happy. He was 100% God, 100% man. 100% man, what happy? He was asleep. And he wakes up and they go, we're going to die, we're going to die, jeopardy, 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 we're going to die. And Jesus gets up and he says, oh, storm, just stop it. You know, often we get, stop it. Didn't need to do that. Just storm, would you just stop it, wind, shut up. Wind, waves, just cut it out. Not because of storm. Stop it, wind. I've had enough of you. And we like to think he turned to his disciples and went, oh, you a little faith. He wasn't happy. He said, why don't you sort it out? What do you wake me up for? What do you wake me up for? I was asleep. You didn't need to wake me up. You could have dealt with it.
You could have dealt with it. Because the authority I've given you, it's greater than the power of a storm of opposition that can come against you. He said, why didn't you talk to it? Because I've given you authority. Not over the storms of life, through wisdom and faith we prevail. Not over storms of disobedience, like Jonah, we bow the knee, get back into the will of God, catch a whale, land on the shore and get on with it real time. But when a storm comes and you know this is more than life. When a storm comes and you know this ain't disobedience. And then you start to think, what's this storm all about? Do you know how I recognize storms of opposition? As we said before in this masterpiece, I'll sign it later if you like. Do you know what it is yet? I mean, look. But the Sea of Galilee wasn't a sea. Somebody was deceiving somebody because it wasn't a sea. It was an inland lake, 8 miles wide, 13 long. But do you know when I know that it's a storm of opposition? Do you know how I know it's a storm that's sent because my life is on purpose somewhere? Do you know when I know it's a storm and it's not a storm of life? It's a storm that's sent because someone's just about to get free. Someone's just about to get freedom. It could be me. It could be me. But someone is moments away from freedom. And a storm's been sent to try and stop me. A storm's been sent to make me put down the anchor or go back to Galilee. A storm's been sent, but I've got a bit wise with this. Up here for thinking, down there for dancing. I've got a bit wise with this. I've started to realize that when I deal with the storms that are sent to stop me, it may be a day, it may be a week, someone gets free. Someone gets free. I want to encourage you. When you look at a storm and you know it ain't because of life, but it's a storm of opposition, how do you know? Because there are often storms on the inland lake. You know what I mean, Steve? But you go to bed the night before, all's fine. Then you wake up the next day and you're troubled. Oh, you're troubled on the inside waters. This isn't an outside thing. No one's upset you. You went to bed and it's good. You wake up and you're troubled. There's some fear. There's some waves. And you don't know they weren't there when you went to bed. It's on the inland lake of who you are. I tell you, I've learned a secret. When I feel the waves of internal storms that weren't there when I left the shore, when the sun was shining, I begin to take the advice of my Jesus, and I don't try to wake him up in the boat, but I begin to get up. If revival doesn't make you speak to your storms, nothing will make you speak to your storms. If revival doesn't restore your confidence, if revival doesn't lift your head and help you to understand that authority has been given by Jesus Christ to you, the same authority that the disciples had to rebuke their storms has been given to you. Don't ring a friend. Don't phone a friend. Don't bother the pastor. Speak to the storm and tell it to stop in Jesus' name. Don't put down an anchor. Don't go backwards. Rebuke the storm. And when it ceases, it may be a day, it may be a week, freedom comes. Because the purpose of the storm, remember the Greek translation, a violent attack of wind. It comes to stop you getting freedom or seeing freedom come to someone else. Oh, what happens next? The boat arrives. Jesus is on his way to you tonight if you need something. I can hear the boat. It's coming. It's coming. I can hear the boat. Jesus is on the way. Jesus is on the way. He's a little bit late, sorry. He had to deal with some storms, but he's coming your way tonight. He's coming your way tonight. Because there's some shackles. I don't think any of you have got 6,826 demons. I'm pretty sure you would have said something by now. I'm pretty sure you'd want to join in and have a comment or just make yourself known.
But I want to tell you what, there's chains that hold God's people that are just as vicious. There's chains of abuse that hold God's people. And it's time, ching, 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 for the chains to come off. It's time, as people that are held by things in their past, ching, ching, ching. It's time for the chains to come off. And I love this story when Jesus arrives at the beach. There's no argument. There's not a party political broadcast. There's not a tour of who's going to be president next. It says every demonic thing, everything, these 6,826 devils slide to their knees to give preeminence to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They slide to their knees. And if they're so wise, why did they choose such a stupid plan? Put us into the pigs. Is that the best you've got? 6,826 of you. You're planks. They said, put us into the pig. Notice it's not like, who do you think you are? Jesus, no. Jesus, no. Put us into the pigs. And Jesus says, you got it. You got it. Now watch us carefully. I hope you're still with me on the train. It's been a long journey together, but hey, I've enjoyed it. 6,826 pigs go via Albert or Alfred, whoever his name was, into the pigs, nearby cliff, convenient. Pigs one at a time. Splat. Read it. It's all in there. Read all about it. Read all about it. It's in there. 6,826 splats. Splat. Splat, 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 splat. I can't manage five, I'll choke myself. Splat, 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 splat. Stay with me, boat, sunshine, Galilee, Gadarenes, island, inland lake, 8 miles wide, 13 miles long, inward, not an outward sea like somebody advertised it. 6,826 devils, out of Crazy Jack. Now watch this carefully, stay with me. He ain't mad anymore, he's happy. Everything changed in a moment because Jesus arrived. Everything changed in a moment because Jesus arrived. Everything changed in a moment because Jesus arrived. Everything changed. And he ain't got his chains anymore. I don't know what he's doing, but he's going, oh, you took the, oh, no, you didn't. You took the shackles off my feet, so I could dare. I mean, he took, no, you did. You took the shackles off my feet. He's having a good time. The disciples, they were marveling because that's what they did. They're going, marvelous, 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 marvelous. The pigs, they're going, just thought you wanted to know that. He's running around with an invoice. Great trick. Who's paying for my pigs? Glad I could be here. These are all the bits you don't know and you don't think about. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm downloading my cranium into you today. Who's paying for the pigs? Great, I'd love that. It's a great trick. Awesome. I reckon that Jesus had given Judas some money for the pigs, and that's where it went wrong. He didn't get the money. And I don't know if you ever heard this. Probably not, because I just made it up. But the next day in the marketplace, there was a pig seller saying, half-price pork. Half-price pork. Half-price pork. Half-price pork. That's how they talk when you sell things. Half-price demonic pork don't go down well in Israel. It's not a big seller. But let's draw a line. Let's forget about what's happening here. You didn't. You took the shackles off my feet so I could... The disciples are like, awesome. Awesome. We've never seen anything like that in our whole life. That's my signature. That's what great artists do. That's what they do. I sing them. I sing. Listen, you could be two things tonight. You could be this guy over here and you've been wearing chains too long and Jesus is coming tonight to set you free. Jesus, no storm can stop him. 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 There's not a storm available that can stop the Son of God. But there's another way of looking at this tonight. And that's that like we've heard already, we're carrying Jesus. We're carrying Jesus. Listen, if you're just one of those kind of selfish Christians that's kind of got everything you want, you've pulled down the garage door, one day I'm going to fly away with Jesus. I'll open the window so you can go now. Can't get any fairer than that. It's a great deal. But that's not what we're called to be. Freely you've been given. Freely give. Freely Jesus has set you free. Now be a vessel that he uses to set people free. Don't live for yourself if you're a Christian. Begin to say, God. You know, I looked in the mirror this morning and you know, I looked and I thought, you're all right, Andy. No, I didn't. I looked in the mirror and you know, I said, this is what I said because I got a revelation and I hope this comes to you now. I looked myself in the eyes because there was a mirror there. I looked myself in the eyes and I went, good morning, HMS Freedom. Because HMS anything in England is a ship, it's a boat. Her Majesty's. I'm His Majesty's ship tonight. And I'm carrying Jesus. I'm carrying Jesus, and Jesus in me is going to make your chains fall off. Hey, listen, if revival stays in here every night, we've missed the point. Like we said yesterday, you got to fall in love with the secret garden, the place where you live in the audience of one. But when you come out of there, you got to realize you ain't sailing through this thing called life for you. You got to begin to say, Jesus, use my life to set somebody free. Maybe that's finances with you. Maybe that's prayer with you. I don't know what it is, but it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. No longer to be subject to yokes of slavery. It was for freedom. But Christ has set you free. Listen, here's a simple, all this just for one statement. I don't know if that's good value, but you're going to get it. When the storms come out of nowhere, when a storm comes out of nowhere, and it wasn't there yesterday, the sun was shining. And it's not life, and it's not disobedience. Do you know what I've begun to do? It's a little bit cheeky. I've begun to look beyond the storm. I've begun to look beyond the storm. I know why this is happening. Somebody's just about to get set free. I know what this storm is. It ain't life. This is more than just the storms of life. But the storm beats against the rock and against the... No, it's more than... This in disobedience. I'm not in disobedience. I know what this storm is because it wasn't there yesterday. And I begin to stand up in the boat of my life. And I ain't weak in Jesus because I don't need to wake him up. I begin to rebuke the storm. Tonight, some of you need to rebuke that storm. You're waiting for somebody with a fairy wand. They're not coming. Because Jesus has given you authority to rebuke the storm. He's given you authority to rebuke the storm. Listen, every storm in my life is followed by an outbreak of freedom. And I just kind of got addicted with the freedom. I don't really notice the storm too much now. They used to bother me because I couldn't see beyond them. These storms come for the purpose of stopping the outbreak of freedom. Some of you had a storm today because the enemy didn't want you here. Some of you had a big storm today because he didn't want you here because he could hear that Jesus was on Galilee. I take this as you leave it. You know, I'm not kind of one of his prophets that says, this is what God said, you better do it or you're going to die. I kind of say, this is what I think God told me and you take it away and pray about it. When we were worshipping tonight, I saw Jesus walking on the Hudson. And he won't go into New York yet. He won't go into New York yet. Jerome, he won't go into New York yet. He wanted to stop off along the Hudson and make some things come alive again. I believe that God's got a plan to walk along the Hudson. He's not in a hurry because he loves the journey. And he stopped at Kingston, but it's not the Hudson's a big old river. He's on his way to New York, New York. Now, I ain't saying you take this for yourself. He's on his way to New York, New York. But at the moment, I believe he's walking up and down the Hudson. And he's looking for people that are hungry. He's looking for some people that want to live beyond themselves. He's looking for some people that say, God, I'll dedicate my life to carry you, Jesus. I'll dedicate my life to carry you, Jesus. I'll dedicate my life to carry you, Jesus. I don't want to live for me anymore, Jesus. Use my life to set some people free, Jesus. Use my life. God, my life is a vessel and it's yielded to you. Maybe you're the boat and realize tonight where you're going. But I reckon there's a few people in here and you had some chains. No demons. No demons. Bondages. Restrictions. Addictions. Fears. Low self-esteem. Chains. Anything that stops you doing what you want to do is a chain. Anything that stops you doing what you want to do is a chain. Debt is a chain. The devil sends debt to stop you doing things, just like he sends a cold, just like he sends rubbish upon rubbish upon rubbish. But when Jesus begins to talk to the storm stops, the ship arrives. Did the ship just arrive? Is it time for somebody to get free yet? Is it time for somebody to get free? Is it time for somebody's change? Jeff, could you get rid of this for me? Is it time for somebody to get free yet? Is it time for somebody's chains? You've been wearing chains too long. You're tired of those chains. It's time for some chains to come off tonight. Amen. It's time because Jesus is here. When Jesus turns up, things live again. Remember Lazarus? When Jesus turns up, things live again. When Jesus turns up, people get their grave clothes taken off. Listen, I got one last story, and this is probably the deepest one you've heard all night, so just hang on. There's a difference between hairspray and deodorant. They look the same, but they do different things. See, hairspray, it's not deodorant, and deodorant's not hairspray. You know that, don't you? Good, good man, good man. Because when you buy a tan hairspray, you buy it because you want everything neatly held in place. Listen, America, I don't know if they still sell that stuff. I think it used to be called Rave. Oh, my goodness. A few years earlier when I was an evangelist, I wanted to be Reinhard Bonnke. You know Reinhard? Yeah. And I had a Reinhard Bonnke haircut. It was awesome, Steve. I used to set it in the morning. And I used to spray it with Rave. I could go to bed, wake up, and it hadn't moved. It was awesome. You want to know the power of Rave? Yes, we do. Glad you asked. I was in a Wego, New York. It was 1997. And a fly came in the bathroom. I took the Rave. It went... Second. Less than a second, Steve. Less than a second. You could put me on the back of a motorbike and take me through a hurricane. I'd get off and the hair was still like Reinhard Bonnke. I had the hair. I even used to speak German. But it just, I had to find myself. I was pilgrimaging. Through other people's personalities to find myself. Listen, if you buy a tan of hairspray, you buy it because you want to hold things neatly in place. You want to hold things neatly in place. That's not why you buy deodorant. Anyone? You don't buy deodorant for that. You buy deodorant so you can be free. That's. I am free. Oh, you're all right. It's for the people next to you. It's for the people next to you. One day in a Wego, I woke up and we'd been doing tent meetings and we woke up and I went in the bathroom and I was a little bit mole-like. I was like, oh. And I grabbed my deodorant. And as I'm shitting. Can anyone else hear that? Oh, good. That's good. As I was heating, suddenly my mind said to me, "That's hairspray." So I grabbed my wife's flannel. No, I didn't. Not really. I got it off. Put my deodorant. Listen, religion's nothing more than hairspray. Religion's nothing. How can you get deep with this? I can get deep with anything. Religion is not. It's not deodorant. It's hairspray. The tin looks the same, but it comes to freeze you. It comes to hold you in your pew. But deodorant comes to set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you don't get frozen in a pew. You start to get free. Cheeky monkey. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, you begin to get free. Jesus was a mover of the Spirit. Because wherever he went, the Spirit went. Tonight, God's Spirit is moving in here. And would you just stand up with me for a second? God wants to take some chains off of you tonight. God wants to break the power of restriction. God wants to break your low self-esteem. Whatever's holding you back tonight, God wants you free. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free, no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. The ship has sailed. You don't have to wear the chains anymore. If you need freedom in an area of your life, why don't you come forward now? If you need freedom in any area of your life, I'm not going to ask you what the chains are. That's your business with God. I'm not going to interview you. Because God knows where you are. He's been watching you your whole life. The ship's about to land. The ship is about to land. Chains are coming off. Chains are coming off. We're throwing away the hairspray. And we're letting deodorant set us free. Oh, you ever been squirted with religion, Rick? Have you ever had religion squirted on you? Like Lazarus, remember how he came out of the tomb? Oh, great trick. Can't move. Loose him. While we were dead in our sins, he made us alive. Somebody once wrote this, and I thought it was phenomenal. That we evangelists, we preach a whole lot about the forgiveness of sins, but we miss the main point. That the gospel isn't about the forgiveness of sins. Let me finish. It's about you coming alive when you were dead. Two dead parents, Adam and Eve, cannot make anything other than dead children. Jesus forgave your sins to sterilize your life so he could put his life in you. Anybody make jam? No, nor do I. If anyone makes jam, the sterilization of the jar is not the main event. The filling of the jam is. But we preach so hard about the sterilization of jars. And we miss that that was a stepping stone to something much greater. While you were dead in your sins, he made you alive together with him, forgiving all your trespasses. If you went to a jam maker's kitchen and there were sterilized jars everywhere, you'd say, "Lady, you're out there." Somewhere over the rain, that's where you are.
But we preach about the sterilization of jars and we miss the point. The jar's sterilized so it can be filled. And according to Ephesians, sealed until the day of redemption. We're just going to ask the Holy Ghost to fill some lives tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, you need Jesus to cleanse your life. Sterilize your life from everything you've known. I think most of us are believers here today, but I never preach without giving a chance. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you need to make your peace with God tonight. Just ever so quickly, you just pop your hand up. Don't want anybody to miss out tonight. If you're not where you should be with God, and you need to make peace with God, pop your hand up. God bless you, mate. Good on you. Good on you. God bless you. Awesome. Three? We got three? You in? Good man. Real time. Anybody else? Four? Anybody else say, I want Jesus? I want Jesus. Before we fill the jar, it just needs to be sterilized. It's quick. When you believe in what Jesus done on the cross. Hey, let's just pray it in case some want to, but we just not got the courage. Let's pray this. Jesus, thank you.
Thank
you.
You died upon the cross
to purify my life.
You took my sin.
You gave me your righteousness.
Thank you.
Hey, right now you're forgiven everything you've ever done. His righteousness has just become yours. I think it's time to get some jam in the jar now.
Hey, you stand at the front because you've said it's time for some chains to come off.
Why don't you lift your arms up to God?
You lift those manacles up for the last time.
Like I said before, I doubt very much someone's got 6,826 devils.
You really would have made yourself known.
But tonight, I'm calling time on abuse. I'm calling time on low self-esteem. In Jesus' name, I'm calling time on addiction. In Jesus' name, I'm calling time on every chain of restriction that stopped you being and doing what you want to do.
Yes. Just going to pray a simple prayer. It's going to ask the Holy Ghost to come into you like jam in a jar. that you'd be being filled with the Holy Ghost again tonight. And as you do, you're going to feel chains fall off your life. Why? Because the boat just arrived at the shore of Gadarenes. The boat just arrived at the shore of Gadarenes. The boat has just arrived at the shore of Gadarenes. And Jesus is getting out of the boat and every chain is shaking. And it's going to fall off of your life. Because no storm can stop him. Some of you nearly didn't come tonight. This is why. Listen, I don't need to whip up anything. This is the Holy Ghost. Get ready. Chains are coming off. All I know to do is I'm just going to count to three. Nothing holy, and it's just what I'm going to do. And when I say three, I want you to extend your arms to God as high as you can. When I say three. And as you do, I believe the Holy Ghost is going to take chains off of your arms. Because it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. No longer to be subjected to a yoke of slavery. No longer to be subjected to a yoke of bondage. One, Jesus, I give you preeminence tonight. God, in the foolishness of my preaching, I pray that you've sown wisdom and faith. Jesus,
in the foolishness of my preaching, God. I've just tried to do what is needed. God, tonight it's you now. Holy Ghost, we need you. Jesus, thank you. One, two. Three. Outbreak of the Holy Spirit. Outbreak of the Holy Spirit. Don't look around. Don't look around. Outbreak of the Holy Spirit. 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 Yeah, debt's falling off of somebody. Debt's falling off of somebody. Debt's falling off of somebody. Debt is falling off of somebody. Debt is falling. It's not going to restrict you. It's not going to stop you. God's called you to do something. Debt can't stop you. That's only a storm. Jesus rebukes that storm over your life tonight. The power of debt broken. Addiction. Addiction. Smoking, narcotics, pornography. Broken off of your life in Jesus' name. There's a man in here, you're not a young man, and you know that secret. God knows where you are. He's not judging you, he loves you. And tonight the river of grace flows through you right now in Jesus' name and breaks the power of that thing off of your life. Physical restrictions in Jesus' name. Right now, chains fall off. There you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. Chains fall off right now. Yeah, I see your depression, I see you, I see you. I see you. Depression, I see you. I see you. I know where you are. It's your turn now. Depression, loose that person and let them go right now. Let the chains fall off of that depressed person. You're not depressed anymore. You're happy. You're happy. You're not depressed anymore. You're happy. Jesus, we give you preeminence. Jesus, we give you. Listen, the Bible said, if I've offended you tonight, I don't know what to say. The Bible says that preaching is foolishness, and that's all I know. But in foolishness, the wisdom of God begins to break out. In the simplicity of our foolishness, in the simplicity of stupid drawings on whiteboards, God breaks in to the heart with revelation. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom, 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 freedom. Just keep waiting, just keep waiting, just keep waiting. Like Pastor Vaughan said, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. All you need to know is the boat has arrived. The boat, there he is, he's walking amongst the crowd. The Holy Ghost is walking. As he walks among the candlesticks, so he walks among you tonight. He walks and he touches you. Grace is a river, and he wants to, that river's flowing through you right now. Grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of a living God flows like a river. It's not going to go round you. It's coming through you. It's not coming round. Grace isn't going to go around you. It's coming through you. And everywhere the river went, it brought life. There were many fish in the sea. There were many fish in the sea. Everywhere the river went, it brought life. There was greenery to the side. Everywhere the river went, it brought life. It brought life. Everywhere the river went, it brought life. I tell you, that river's called grace. Okay, I feel the Holy Ghost hovering over addiction again right now. Hovering over addiction. Right now, he's undoing the lock. He's undoing the lock. And right now, the manacles fall off. The manacles fall off. I'm just going to start just to lay my hands on a few people. Don't even think about me. Just keep just loving on God right now. I'm just wondering if Jeff, you could come forward. Jerome, can you come on forward, mate? And we just need to not shout or scream. Just lay your hands on people. The Bible said lay your hands on them and just let the Holy Ghost do what he wants to do. And listen, God's going to touch you. He's touching you now. Let's not presume what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Let's just let him do what he wants to do. Amen. We love you, Jesus.